Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144...
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is November the 8th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. We have Pastor Keith here in the building. So we're looking forward to having a show with you all. And the reason why we can do a show is because of Black Talk Radio Network. Please, everyone, support Black Talk Radio Network. Go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. and make a donation there so that this network can continue to grow and continue to bring you programming that you have deemed as being necessary and important. Also, you can support the network by going to BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that you can find at www.btrcommunity.com. Check out what's there and become a member and engage in all of your social media activities through BTR Community, which is a membership where you won't be as adversely affected by your overall participation, which is very, very important. It won't sell your information to anyone. It is not going to compromise you. It is not using your overall postings for monetary gain. You could do that yourself within reason, of course. So this is a more holistic way to engage in social media activities. The only place that I actually post. So you could do that there. So check that out. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, then please do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your currency for money and get real money. Definitely necessary and important to do. So check that out. Also, let me see what else we got going on. That's about it. And we're going to jump into today's show. And today's show is part two of training with your family and close friends. Very, very important. You should be doing that without a doubt. And we're going to jump into that. But first, before we do that, we're going to get into what's in the news. So first article I got from What's in the News comes from RT International. Says Ukrainian neo-Nazis believed to have trained U.S. white supremacists in, that was by the FBI. So the RT International says that the Ukrainian, and this is something that he got from the FBI, that Ukrainian neo-Nazis battalion is believed to have participated in training and radicalizing U.S.-based white supremacy. The FBI said in a recent indictment of several California men involved in the Charlestonville violence. So check out that. And that's, see, here's what's significant about that, is that the overall coup in the Ukraine was actually done by the radicalized neo-Nazis within that area with full funding from the U.S. and cooperation. It wasn't just funding. They gave cooperation. They've been working with them, and they've been doing that in so many different, you know, areas. They do that in all forms and all fashions, but there's a close relationship that the overall government has with this, with the neo-Nazis of the past, the present, and the ones in the future, because that's who they really are themselves. They follow that same paradigm, but it really is not that they're following the neo-Nazis. The neo-Nazis are actually following the Manifest Destiny program. So check out that article, significant, and as you know, this is very, you know, these are some of the reasons why you should be doing and preparing, because it's right there in front of you. Up to you, though. Next article comes from NBC News, is that from the shooting that happened in Thousand Oaks, California, the bar shooting. So if NBC News has this coverage there. So check out that article. Next article, I got this one from the Epoch Times. Bank run in southwest China. City could signal a broader financial crisis. And so check out, very, very, very important. We're definitely going to need to cover this one tomorrow. There's actually bank runs that are happening in China that's not good. And this one is what happened at the bank in Zigong, in one of the provinces, exemplifies a common situation in many regions of China. Debt is ballooning. It's not just in regions of China. It's in the whole geopolitical economic sphere. All currencies are failing, and they will continue to fail miserably. And from that failing miserably, there is going to be a move in a different direction with currency, and where currency is going to anchor itself to money and assets. So very, very important. Check out that article. Next article, I got this one from oil.com. Iranian ghost tankers are slipping through the cracks, meaning that they're delivering oil without having their indicators.
This call is being recorded. Call recording off.
Next article comes from Sputnik News. European state nervous about relationship with the U.S., ex-NATO Secretary General says. The former NATO Secretary General also urges Europe to do more on its own interests, and says some European states are increasingly nervous about their relationship with the U.S. And the article I read yesterday was where France was saying that they need to actually develop a Euro army because of the risk that comes from China, Russia, and the United States of America. This is where it is. The overall war paradigm is real. It's going to jump off, and it is not going to stop. It's going to come to a full head, and when it does, hopefully you and your family will not be as adversely affected because of the preparations that you do and take now. Check out that article. Next article got from Sputnik News. U.S. is unable to balance global oil market. It's beyond their control. So very, very, very true. This oil prices have rebounded after falling to their lowest since August on a report that Russia and Saudi Arabia are discussing oil output cuts in 2019. Check out that article. Next article from Press News. Very, very important. This goes along with the first article and a lot of things, and with today's reason why you should be training with your family and friends. Here it is from Press TV. Gun violence interlinked with global U.S. militarism. Very true. I've always said that the U.S., I am definitely for gun control. 100% I'm for gun control. But I'm for gun control from the real measure, from where it really counts. It's in a government level first and foremost. Don't tell me that 5, 10, 20 people being killed is a tragedy when there's millions of people being killed and sponsored by state terrorism and sponsored by it all, and we want to ignore that. And until we stop ignoring the overall sociopaths that are being dictated, that are given direction by psychopaths, and allow these political serial killers to go on and kill people without due regard as political serial killers, you'll never have a clue as to what's going on, and you'll never make any meaningful change. The most meaningful change it has to do is that the culture of violence needs to change globally. And until that overall paradigm is changed, it's the small events are nothing more than just images of what the real problem is. The real problem is the engagement and the relationships that we have and the ones that we develop, we are allowing someone else to rule, to tell us what to do, what to think, where to go, how to perceive things, who to like, who to dislike. As long as there is no self-determination, as long as we're using surrendering our will for someone else's agenda, we're going to continue to be in a never-ending war, perpetual war cycle. It's the truth. Absolutely the truth. And that truth needs not your support. It needs your understanding and realizing that, okay, we need to do something different. So check out that we'll check out that article, and this is the reason why everyone should be actually training with their family and friends, because this overall culture of violence that goes on in the U.S. and has been spread everywhere is going to at some point and at some time adversely affect you. It will, and it will do it in a very, very direct, in a very, very direct way. So check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. Taiwan will not retreat an inch as it commissions U.S.-made frigates. Check out that article. That is, I'm going to tell you, that is going to be one of the, that's the easiest and quickest way to get into World War III, right there. Taiwan and China. That's the quickest and the easiest way for it to be done. So check out that article. Next article we got from Bloomberg. And this one is from Bloomberg. Is the EU, the European Union, spells out to Italy why its budget plan just won't fly. Italy's pushed back after the EU says its budget plan won't fly. This is all the displacement economically that is going to be global. What's going on in Italy will happen everywhere. Next article, got this one from, from Reuters. This one is from Reuters, and it says, military gets a boost in revised German spending plan. The German military has received a hefty boost in its revised budget plan from 2020 plan. And that was in a saying that that draft was done because celebrity figurehead Trump told them that they need to pay more of their overall fair share and they need to pick up more of the military budget. And guess what Germany said? Yep, because you know why? They're going to be using it against the U.S. I definitely see Germany and France aligning with China and Russia in World War III. And then they're not going to be the only ones. They're telling you it. Very much so. The purge of the U.S. is real. Next article, this one comes from Sputnik News Business. Why didn't this one come up? Iranian U.S. sanctions. Excuse me. And this was from Sputnik News. Iran finds alternative to SWIFT amidst U.S. sanctions pressure. So when the U.S. is no longer able to sanction anyone, there will be no reason for anyone to hold its overall currency. When the U.S. is no longer able to effectively and efficiently sanction anyone, when that threat is gone, that means the overall reserve currency of the U.S. dollar is going to be nullified, taken away, not needed. Well, it's going to be abandoned because they can't bully and punk and coerce and threaten people into compliance. So very, very chilling. And that is going to harm every single person here if you're not ready. Really is. So next article got from Sputnik News. France proposes boosting euro in retaliation against U.S. sanctions on Iran. France proposes France proposes boosting euro in retaliation against the U.S. sanctions on Iran. Earlier, a number of EU countries released a joint statement pointing out that their determination to continue to work in collaboration with Russia, China, and other states to to effectively maintain financial contact with Iran, irrespective of U.S. imposed sanctions. And this was by France proposal. Now you can see, we've been talking about this for a long time, but now you can see where it's basically all of the EU has moved towards Russia, China, the BRIC nations. NATO has been broken. Next article. This one comes from Asian Times. Trump Gorbachev and the fall of the U.S. empire. And it says in fall of the American empire. The American empire is not falling. It's the United States that's falling. So I had to just change that real quick. Trump and Gorbachev and the fall of the U.S. empire. They have it fall of the American empire. Once again, America is not falling. It's the U.S. corporate empire that is falling. Check out Rick's article there. Next article from the South China Morning Post. Let me just say to you, Keith and everyone listening, whenever you hear the name of John Bolden, going to go talk to Keith's head went down. Whenever you hear the name of John Bolden going to talk to somebody, you know what that is, right? That's nothing more than a neocon, the Nazism of the U.S. going to try to talk to somebody. What do you think they're going to talk about? But here's the article. South China Morning Post. Have trade talks begun? John Bolden meets top Chinese diplomat. Ain't going to go good. Check out that article. Next article from Strategic Culture. U.S. declares war in a trica of tyranny, pushing them closer to Russia. I want to really catch this next week. Basically, what the U.S. is called, remember your favorite president, the second Bush, when he had the axis of evil? He had all of those, the countries that he laid out, Iraq, Iran, and all of those other things. Well, there's the troika of tyranny. And it's funny that the U.S. is using a Russian word, right? It's funny that they're using a Russian word. And it's because what they're trying to say is that here it is. Now that the U.S. policy is in place, Moscow and Washington appear to be having another divisive issue clouding their relationship. The troika of tyranny, against which Washington has declared war, which Washington has declared war, enjoys friendly relationships with Russia, and that is Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Cuba, Black Waters, and Venezuela. That's what Nicaragua means, Black Waters. So that's the, and this is goes everything with the, what they're trying to set everything up with. And here's where the U.S. is going to, the overall purpose and decisions and the policies that they're going to use to invade Venezuela. And it's all being a part, and they're having a psyops that's going on. And that psyops, in my opinion, was as much more than this migrant caravan, is actually a psyops. And it has everything to do with the overall engagement in Central and South America against Venezuela, particularly Venezuela. Why? Venezuela and Panama, and Nicaragua. And the reason being, resources. Resources, 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 resources. That's the whole control there. Without Venezuela, the U.S. will not be able to sustain itself in any meaningful war, any global war paradigm. It will not be able to sustain itself. It needs to be able to get cheap, fast, quick oil. And they're going to make a march to invade there. And I'm going to tell you, China and Russia cannot allow them to do it. This is why they're putting the buffer zone between Venezuela. The real buffer zone is for Venezuela. This is where Cuba comes into play. This is where Panama comes into play. This is where Nicaragua comes into play. Without that overall buffer there, it's going to be contentious. And this is why, this is the real reason why, you know what, before we get into the other part, we really need to talk about this, Keith. So I'm going to give you a talk to you all about that one. So we're going to keep going. Next article from Press TV. Russia should let Israel attack Iranians in Syria. Press TV, the U.S., said that Russia should let Israel attack Iranians in Syria. The U.S. ambassador to Syria said Washington would like to see Russia allow Israeli attacks on Iranian advisors working with the Syrian military. So now it comes down to let me do it. Let me attack them. Let my buddy attack them.
But they already done told you that there's no way in sin we're going to allow that to happen.
It's all over, y'all. This war is real. Next article from Sputnik News. Chinese currency internationalization is quickening. Chinese currency internationalization is quickening. Check out that article. Next article from the Rutherford. A badge of shame. The U.S. government war on U.S. military veterans. And I had to change it because of what they said. It actually says the government's war on American military vets. It should be the government's war on U.S. military veterans. So check out that article, Badge of Shame. Next article from the South China Morning Post. Desperate middle class taking big risks to get money out of China. Growing worries are putting more wealthy mainlanders to seek property and long-staying visas overseas. But for some, it has turned into a nightmare. So what they're trying to say is that there are some Chinese individuals that are trying to have money, their money, and I mean they probably mean their currency, actually stored outside of the country and actually seeking property outside of the country. And I'm going to tell you, that can be a very, 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 very dangerous endeavor. You better make sure that you're doing it with a country that you are so-called, your country is going to be an ally with when the war starts. Because if it's not, Trading with the Enemy Act is going to come right into play. Everything that you have will be taken.
Who is trying to do that, though?
So what it is desperate middle class taking big risks to get money out of China. So these are Chinese individuals that are taking big risks to get their overall financial security outside.
Desperate middle class.
This is from the South China Morning Post. Keith said that I'm confusing them. Here it is. This is from the South China Morning Post, and it says desperate middle class, talking about the middle class in China.
China, okay.
Yes. Taking big risks to get money out of China. And that is a big risk.
And why are they doing that?
Because they're preparing like the rest of the people around the world. They see what's going on. They know that the yuan is going to collapse. They know that the economy is going to collapse. So what are they trying to do? Protect themselves. They know what's going on with the bank run that's starting to happen in China, which will cross-pollinate to Europe, to here, and everywhere else.
So are they suspecting that the Chinese government is going to take their property, just like we're suspecting the American government to take? Why
yeah.
would they do that if they're going to be victorious?
Yeah. Well, big, and Keith said, why would they do that when China is anticipated to win the war? China and their overall allies will definitely win the war. But what's happening is that some of the Chinese middle class are actually taking economic refuge in U.S. states, in U.S. real estate, in U.S. companies, and in other countries that are allies with the U.S. And what happens is this: as soon as the war starts, the U.S. is going to seize all of that property, because it's going to be trading with the Enemy Act. So they're going to lose that overall investment.
Okay, so why would they lose all? Because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is because China's in the process of buying up the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Not the middle class, China
mm-hmm.
itself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, because I know they're buying up millions and millions of acres of farmland.
Yep.
They're buying up all kinds of technical companies, the
yep.
whole nine yards.
Yep.
you know, so why would that be such a... Because basically China owns the United States.
Yeah. You know, remember in football and in basketball, they say low man wins, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in the economic sphere, low man loses. See, the economy is going to collapse on the common person, the everyday person. That's the economic collapse that's going to happen. The overall, the institutions that the corporation of China has, they're going to make it seem like they lost, and then all of a sudden, as when they win the war, what happens in receivership comes into place, and they're going to take over stuff from the U.S., but guess what? Their citizens won't be able to have been able to do that.
Same thing that we look at here every day. No
different. No different. Yeah. No different. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Franco-German Accord brewing to make Apple, Facebook, and Google pay. And the U.S. is furious. Check out that. Now, here's the accord. France-Germany. Remember, keep what I said? Whatever Germany does, France has to follow, because that's the overall tie there. Next article from David StockmanCorner.com. Let me move this. The demise of bubble financing in the foil of Trumponomics, part two. Really good. We're going to definitely carry this. David does a really, really, really good job on his articles and what he talks about. Great, great stuff there. Next article from Global Times. Got this one from Global Times. China and Austria to launch another round of tariff-cutting cuts starting in 2019. That is going to be the overall move where countries are going to cut their overall ties with the U.S. This is basically Austria's cutting the ties with the U.S. Very, 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 very important. So check out that article. Next article from the – got this one from Roz got this one from Survivalpedia, how to prep on a tight budget. Check out that article. Then Roz posted inside from Ask a Prepper, the 11 things Native Americans carried with them to survive in the wild. Check out that article. You need to know all of those things. You should be preparing. I'm never going to tell you how to prepare. I'm only going to tell you why you should be preparing, because everyone's dynamics is different. But check out, use these overall resources to your benefit. Next article Roz posted from Patriot Caller. Top five guard dog breeds. Security systems have proven to be effective when it comes to making people feel safer. And I much rather have the old technology. Don't give me that new technology that you can use your phone to unlock, lock your door. See, that means that stuff can be hacked. That stuff can be hacked. And guess what? That stuff can actually... It makes the overall economic system much more draconian because of this. The overall process of, let's say you're getting evicted or foreclosed on, guess what? That speeds up the process a whole lot easier, because all it has to do is it could lock you out your own house. Yes, you would break in and everything else, but still can definitely lock you out of your own house. And that would make it difficult. I mean, it's just so many things. Your car can be locked to where you can't start it. You can't. Well, all of this stuff is. See, the system is always going to make sure that it's going to give you the appearance that something is candy, but deep down inside, it's always been poison. And that's been for everything that they've ever done. The system never gives you anything. It takes everything away. So, and you know, the sooner we realize that and have a more holistic dealing with that, it'll make it easier to where we will have a more realistic perception of what really is threatening us. You have to know what your enemy is and what their overall objectives are. And so, very, very important. So Next article, Rise, posted from Ask a Prepper. 13 survival foods you should always have at home. Check out that article. Next article, Rise has for Ask a Prepper, 7 cheap foods to stockpile that people usually throw away. And then next article from Surviving Frog, Rise got this one, 9 Native American survival skills that can save your life. Yep, check out all of that stuff. And then there was one of the things that definitely everybody should have is a water bob, especially if you're in an earthquake zone. Water bob. Only bad thing about a water bob is that you can only use it once. But you definitely want to have it. That's the only downside with a water bob. But so it's the Ask a Prepper, how to store 100 gallons of water using a water bob. So check out that article. And then Rise posted a YouTube video from RT, World Dumping U.S. Dumping U.S. Debt. And then Rise posted another YouTube from RT, Will Iranian Sanctions Force World to De-Dollarize? So check out that. Then Rise posted Money versus Currency, the Hidden Secrets of Money with Mike Maloney. And then he also posted another YouTube video, The American Breed and Circus, from Mike Maloney in his overall series. So check out those things. Very, 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 very important. So we're going to get into today's show. Cool, we're right on time. So what I want to do real quickly was for today's show, let me go back. I want to take a look at a couple of things and want to go to significant before we get into today's show. We'll do it at the top. There's a article that is from Strategic Culture. It's actually I'm going to carry the run on the banks on Financial Friday. There's an article from Strategic Culture, Keith. U.S. declares war on the troika of tyranny, pushing them closer to Russia. So I want to pick this article up and then talk about it. And this has everything to do with us preparing. Okay? So here it is. The U.S. declared war on the troika of tyranny, pushing them closer to Russia. The U.S. is going to extend its combat operation. The U.S. is going to extend its combat operations. The sanctioned war aimed at reshaping the world to Latin America, from shaping the world to Latin America. Tough new penalties are planned against the troika of tyranny, consisting of Venezuela, Cuba, and Black Waters, a.k.a. Nicaragua. In the very near future, this announcement was made by National Security Advisor, one of Pastor Keith's favorite persons, John Bolton, on November the 1st. Don't shake your head, Keith. I know I didn't give you how close you and John really, really are. I just thought, you know, in the interest of time, I'd keep it going. A few days before the U.S. midterm elections, in an attempt to draw more support from Hispanic voters, especially in Florida. An executive order on sanctions against Venezuela has already been signed by celebrity figurehead Trump, but that's just the beginning. And remember, celebrity figurehead Trump wanted to invade and have military action as a humanitarian crisis as the overall backdrop to invade in Venezuela. See, they always say they want to get, they're doing what's the best for you, while they run the tanks over your head. They're doing what's best for you while the artillery runs over your feet. They're doing what's best for you when the troops trample you, because they never have your interest at hand. Never have, never will. And it would be it's very dangerous to have that and to be so gullible through these tactics of the system. Our gullible nature to the system is what makes us so vulnerable. But it's more than just vulnerable, it's really what makes us sick. We're completely gullible to this whole thing.
Who are you referring to as we?
And Keith said, who am I referring to as we? When I say we, I'm talking about the general people, our species itself, that's being actually subjugated by the system. I'm not talking about one group of people, one individual, one sector of the world, one sector of the countries, because all of that is a facade. All of that, those dividing lines have been put there as a part of the overall system, and this is where we fall gullible to that.
You're talking about mankind.
Mankind. Yes, definitely. So check out, so here we go. It was rather symbolic that on the same day that the NSA delivered its bellicose speech, the UN General Assembly voted overwhelmingly in supporting of a resolution calling for an end to the U.S. economic embargo against Cuba. How many of you knew about that? That there was actually a UN resolution that called for the end of the embargo against Cuba by the U.S. And this is why the U.S. is so, Nikki Haley and all of the celebrity figurehead Nikki Haley and all of them are so mad at the UN. We're pulling out of this. We're pulling out of that. This is with how the whole world is going to go to war against the U.S. and is going to be easily defeated. The setup is there. That speech, that celebrity figurehead Trump, it was perfect. They knew that they can get a baffling individual or an icon to represent what the system needs to maintain control. So it goes on.
They laugh.
Yep. The document did not include amendments proposed by the U.S. that will put pressure on Havana to improve its human rights records. The document didn't include that, what the U.S. wanted to do. Who in the world is the U.S. to tell anybody about human rights? Because once again, they want to invade their country under humanitarian reasons. There's nothing humane about this. This is a prelude to a massive escalation in foreign policy, which has included the formalization of allies, in addition to active confrontation of those who dare to push policies, to pursue policies believed to be anti-U.S. under this administration will no longer appease dictators and despots nearing our shores, Bolden said. This is what Bolden said, quote, under this administration, we will no longer appease dictators and despots near our borders, near our shores, Bolden stated, adding that the torque of tyranny in this hemisphere, that being Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, has finally met its match. Sounds like a declaration of war. Once again, this is what Bolden stated. The torque of tyranny in this hemisphere, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, has finally met its match. End of quote. Sounds like a declaration of war. Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, Chile, and Peru are probably some of the nations the U.S. is eyeing for a potential ally. Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, Chile. Now, the overall, don't think they'll ever get Brazil. They already got Colombia. Chile has a long history with the U.S. using PSYOPs and destabilizing it. It was the last official assassination of a head of state came out of Chile. I want to say, oh, man, what was his name? Salinas, I believe it was. When the U.S. assassinated Salinas in the 50s, can't remember. So what they're saying, so it goes on, article goes on. And Peru are probably some of the nations the U.S. is eyeing for a potential alliance. And I'm going to tell you, that's not going to work. It'll work with Colombia, won't work with Brazil. I don't think Argentina will. Chile, I think, will move the other way, and Peru at some point and at some time will move in the other way. Bolton's Troika includes only three countries ruled by governments that are openly red or communist. The list of nations are unfriendly to the U.S. is much larger, is much longer, and this includes Bolivia, Ecuador, Dominican, Grenada, Uganda, and some of the other, Uruguay, and some of the other states ruled by the leftist government. The president-elect of Mexico takes office on December the 1st. The Mexican leader represents the country's first left wing that looks a lot like a tough nut to crack outright and may be helpful in this particular case. Now that the new U.S. Policy is in place, Moscow and Washington appear to have another divisive issue clouding their relationship, the Troika of Tyranny, which Washington has declared war for enjoying friendly relationships with Russia. And I'm going to say this. It's not just going to, Mexico is going to go with Russia and China, already pretty much done. And as I said, Brazil is already in the BRIC nations. It's appearance of one thing, but that's not what they're going to do. Chile, I think, will be turned, and Peru will be turned. Colombia will probably be the last one to go. Argentina remains to be seen, but I don't see them really going with the U.S. No one will, because the U.S. can't bribe them anymore. You know, Argentina has a history of the U.S. actually sending their economic hitmen down there to destroy their country economically. Don't think that that's going to be lost. Our article goes on. With Cuba facing tough restrictions, new opportunities are opening up that will encourage Russia and Cuba relationship to thrive. This is why the Colombian president was in Russia last week, in China this week, and in North Korea next week. He is going on his overall, and then Vietnam, and then what was the other one? Cuban press. Vietnam, and then I can't remember what the other country was. Oh, man. But what is he doing? He's going through and getting his economic, financial support from all of those countries. What do they want from him?
Access.
Exactly. Access. So here's what I want to say, so we don't run out of time. Well, let me just finish this out real quick. The chairman of the Colombian State Council and Council of Ministry, Miguel Bermudez, has talked with Russia's Vladimir Putin during his official visit to Moscow on November the 1st through November the 3rd. Their joint statement reaffirms the strategic and allied relationship between the two countries. Their long list of joint projects includes the development of a Russian ground station in Cuba, which will give it access to a broad array of technical capabilities, satellites, telecommunication services, and for taking remote readings of Earth. What is that really doing? That's targeting. They're going to use Cuba for target acquisition here in the States, in the continental United States. And they're going to defend Cuba.
Sure they are.
Sure, he said sure they are. So what they're saying, listen to this, and it's a GLONASS ground station in Cuba, which will give it access to a broad array of technology, technical capabilities for satellites and telecommunication service, and for taking remote readings of Earth. Russia will modernize Cuba's railway. Who else will assist in this? China will. Scheduled to be signed during the president during President Putin's visit to Cuba next year. Rosneft, the Russian state oil giant, has recently resumed fuel shipments to Cuba and is negotiating a major energy agreement. What is Russia doing there? Russia is strategically placing oil in Cuba, part of its strategic reserves, to be able to do what? Buffet the U.S. Now, let me get into what I'm seeing here. Cuba, Panama, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, excuse me, Cuba, Panama, Nicaragua, Mexico is the buffer against the U.S. from being able to push south into South America.
You say Iran?
No. I said Cuba, Panama, Nicaragua, and Mexico is going to be the buffer that China and Russia and all of their allies will use. Iran would be an ally. The Koreas would be an ally.
Because you remember they were talking about putting ships
in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
Right. They're going to use those nations as a buffer state against the U.S. And a buffer state meaning to be able to engage direct in direct war and to limit the overall ability of maintaining command and control of the overall troops abroad and supply lines. One of the things that China does, China's smart, very, very, very keen and smart way to defeat the U.S., and I'm going to tell you one of the ways that they're doing it. They're not going to try to, and they're wise in this overall approach. Once again, China plays the game of Go, time and space. Americans play chess, a game of arrogant aggression. What they're going to do is that they know that the U.S. will have an arrogant, aggressive ploy or policy towards China and other nations and everything else. That's their tactic. What China did was so strategically smart and wise. What China did is that they said, okay, we're not going to try to make up hundreds of years of military spending for one war. We'll be able to defeat them by having let them spend themselves into default. But here's what happens. We can attack their supply lines, and it's by attacking their supplies, they won't be able to do what? Have that advanced technology move. This is why the Russian J-20 aircraft, stealth aircraft, is really meant not for dogfighting the F-35 or the U.S. Stealth fighters. They're not designed for that. They're wise in that. You know what they're designed to do? Take out their airborne refueling. If you can't refuel your F-22 Raptor that ain't worth a darn,
then it can't fly.
See, asymmetrical wins against brute anger, unthoughtfulness, and arrogance all the time. And so China takes that ploy. And by taking that ploy with Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean, that cuts off the U.S. So remember what the Army General said. The U.S. is no longer a sanctuary. We don't have the overall, our enemies are not, our borders, the U.S. is not a sanctuary because our borders are no longer protected by oceans and distance.
Days of isolationism is over.
The days of having a sanctuary to wage war unopposed, the days of you being comfortable, the days of it being easy is over. See, one of the things that was damning for the U.S. policy was this. They always picked a fight with people that couldn't beat them, and they thought they was the world champ. They always picked a fight with someone that couldn't defeat them, and that made them think arrogantly that they were some form of champ.
They were like Ronda, what's your face?
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey. First time she fought somebody that could fight,
What did she do? Turned her and kicked her in the face, and she done. She was done from there. But that was what the U.S., because the U.S. has never won a major confrontation with any form of country that was just marginally able to defend itself. Marginally. And I'm going to tell you what that margin was.
What? Who have they ever beaten?
But I'm going to tell you who that margin was.
Maybe Mexico in 1812.
Well, we're not. I don't think that they beat Mexico in 1812. I don't think that the U.S. beat Mexico in 1812.
Well, that would go back to what I was saying. Who have we beaten?
You know,
I can't recall anybody
beaten. Just because you win a skirmish don't mean you won the whole thing.
I don't recall.
Mexico future looks really, really well. Looks really, really good. The U.S. doesn't.
Absolutely not.
But, Keith, the point I want, and I want to get back to who have we defeated. You didn't even defeat Iraq.
They haven't defeated anybody.
No. No, anybody. Here's the thing.
They didn't defeat Vietnam or Korea, who didn't even have...
I don't know why you even brought Korea up. Of course they didn't defeat Korea.
They never even had an army.
No. And marginally able to defend themselves. If countries have resources, China and Russia will always be interested. And they will always rebuff the U.S.
Hey, Dave.
That's the overall margin of defense. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Well, actually, we did win the Gulf War. I was there. So, you know, the Army versus Army portion of it, absolutely the U.S. Army put an ass whooping on the Iraqi Army. But, you know, as y'all was talking, I was watching this Vietnam documentary the other day. And one of the things they said about Vietnam was that they were saying that the Americans were too arrogant and saying that they thought that it was going to be like, you know, they coming off of World War II. That was the last major war they fought in. And, you know, that was a different type of war, that when you fighting an enemy that's using guerrilla tactics, that don't have tanks, that don't have planes like that, and I'm talking about the Viet Cong of Vietnam, it's hard to defeat them, man. And you're going to rack up a huge amount of casualties, American public, they don't like that. They don't like that. They don't care so much if millions of other people get killed. Or hundreds of thousands of other people get killed. But when it comes to their own troops, they don't have the stomach for it no more.
No, and really they never have. And Scotty said that the U.S. Beat the Iraqi military. Yes, but they didn't beat the country of Iraq.
Well, that's because they chose not to, though, Dave.
Right.
Colin Powell said...
Right, I'm 100% with you, yeah.
Yeah, Colin Powell was like, you know, he was like, it would be stupid to destroy the entire country in the infrastructure. And then, as you saw later, they tried to recruit former members of Saddam's party and what have you to run the country. But
that's the most important point right there. Right, Scotty? They tried to, because what the U.S. wanted to do was that they didn't want to completely destabilize that whole region. Because in completely destabilizing that whole region so quickly and so just completely. And
yeah,
so,
but they
and
did
so,
though.
And
they
so
destabilized
blunt, being
it.
So blunt with it.
Yeah,
it would have caused a real disposition with that whole region. With that would have blew up, and they wouldn't have been able to maintain control. So what did they do? Now subversion comes in. The U.S. tactic has always been to threaten with bully tactics and then to bring in subversion. And then that subvertive action to control there, they had it for a short period of time. And now they're losing it, because what happens with subversion is that in subversion you have to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And that deepness led them into where? Afghanistan. And in Afghanistan, against the folks that did, now you got a real, real problem. Afghanistan is where countries, empires go to die. Fatal, fatal flaw. How do you not know history when it comes to dealing with Afghanistan. You're not going to do it. unless you're going to go in and nuke everybody and nuke everything, which you're not going to be able to do. So, and as Scotty said, with the guerrilla, you don't have the stomach for it. Can't do it. Now the U.S. is so weak militarily, now there is going to be a direct military confrontation with the U.S. And one of the ways that you defeat the nation is this. You kill their overall ability to supply and resupply, and then you affect their ability to fight, their military's ability to fight. And the U.S. biggest problem is its arrogance. It has too many bases, too many places, and too many enemies. And because of that, it's a done deal. Now, while you're overall trying to supply your bases, what happens to your overall continental U.S.? It is now under attack. That's the biggest choking point, is they're going to choke off the continental U.S.'s ability to make it. And you think that would be hard here in the U.S.? Absolutely not. So vulnerable to it, but never be able to. You know it's coming, and there's nothing that you can do to stop it now, because you never prepared for it beforehand. Too late now. So very, very, very important. So that over, and this is the reasons why we should be preparing, because I don't think that the overall U.S. losing its overall standing, going from where it is now to how far and how low it's going to go, it doesn't have to completely, just because they go that path, it doesn't have to totally destroy you on that same. You don't have to go down with the Titanic. And not going down with the Titanic requires that you put the life vest on now, get in the boat, and start rowing away from this overall baby, because it's over. And one, never really resonated with the overall policies, procedures, agendas, and objectives of the overall country at large. It's foul, it's wrong, it always has been. And people that want to say, well, you should have blind faith in patriotism, that's who you are. That's not who I am. That's not how I resonate. So in that, there's going to be a hefty price that the world is going to be a hefty bill that the world is going to hand the U.S. And it's going to list all of its events. It's going to list all of. You see, the UN is starting to do it already. They're starting to do it already, so it's definitely here. Listen, everyone, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, we're going to jump into preparing, training with your friends and family. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We will see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up.
Hey, Dave,
yesterday, Brother
real
Davis
quick.
Had called. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, real quick, but just to the point of, you know, traditional armies not being able to defeat people with guerrilla tactics and what have you. So I'm reading, you know, this article about Mexico about to legalize cannabis, right? And they're citing all the violence and stuff from the drug war and saying that it's failing and what have you. But for over a decade, the Mexican army, their military has been battling drug cartels and can't win and can't beat them.
Yes. See, militaries were only designed to be able to defeat other militaries. It can never, ever, ever defeat the people. There's no military on the planet that can defeat the people. It can only, like Scotty said, they destroyed the Iraqi army on what was that, the Tyranny of March, or I forgot the what the on that road. I forgot what it was. What was that, Scotty?
I forget the name that they gave it, but one of the names was the Highway to Hell.
There it is. The highway of to something. See, militaries against military, that's where militaries have to fight and where they thrive. There is no military, the U.S. military, combined with all of the other militaries of the world, they can't defeat the people. Can't be done.
Hey,
there's some of the most decorated generals in the world that will tell you that as well.
But you see what happened in Iraq after their military was destroyed. What did they resort to? Guerrilla tactics. They call it an insurgency.
Yep. And that's how they were able to rebuffer the U.S. there. It can't be done. So very, very important. Now, yesterday, just before we went, Brother Davis had called in just before the show ended and couldn't hear him as well. I wanted him to he's back now. Welcome, Brother Davis. If you will pick up where you left off yesterday, because we couldn't hear you at all. Just it was spotty, and we would hear you from time to time. Always good to hear the voice of a friend. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. And the reason why I called yesterday was because my wife had really had some positive suggestions, and I wanted the people to understand that these things only work when you are mentally prepared. And that's the first thing you really should focus on, letting them understand that we only reach this type of awareness when we are at a point where everybody understands that there's a purpose that they serve. And the reality is, if a person doesn't realize the magnitude of danger, then they're not going to understand. Just to get you out the gate, we used to do a thing with our children about playing, see who could be quiet the longest. And then we would teach them how to breathe in a state of quietness, because sometimes that becomes your advantage. And little things like that, that people don't really pay attention to, especially kids today, where they think if you've been quiet for 10 seconds, you should want to know why. Sometimes that one question makes a difference. To give you an idea quickly, there was an old story about a Jewish family that was trying to escape from Germany. And he had a child that was 3 months old. And they were in a closet with about 12 people that was literally under the floor. And the baby started crying. And in reading the article, the guy tells you how literally he cried inside for what he had to do outside in order to save everybody involved. Every situation can be tantamount in a certain circumstance, but you got to be able to identify the circumstance. I just wanted to add that my wife is probably going to be calling in, if not already, but she has some very good ideas. And always remember that you're never alone. So you may have to be an ally to somebody you don't know if they're an ally to you. I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you, Brother Davis. So, so important. And Keith wanted to chime in, and I wanted to you know, I remember when Brother Davis first told me that story was years ago on our preparedness Sunday call, and it was so poignant. I'm going to, you know, just reiterate, you know, some of the things that Brother Davis said from that. I'll never forget when Brother Davis told me that story, and it was very, very significant and relevant. Keith, you want to chime in? Go ahead.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, well, taking back on what Brother Davis was just saying, how we do things in society now. And one of the things that I used to tell people is it's real big in our society. There's nothing wrong with a man crying. You know, a man should be able to cry. And my thing to them was, look, the bottom line is the man is supposed to be the protector. Is he supposed to cry? Absolutely he cries. But there's a place and a time for a man to cry. So when the stuff hits the fan, it's a discipline. If a man isn't disciplined and not crying at certain places in time, if he's just going to blubber and snotting and everything because of a crisis, he's out of the picture. He's out of the picture. Now, when he can hold that in with the discipline to do so you can get through that crisis later on, you know, he opens up that release valve and lets that happen. But that's a discipline. We're getting away from all of that.
All forms of discipline. Yeah.
Absolutely. And people need to recognize these things.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you the story, what Brother Davis didn't say in that I remember the day that Brother Davis told us the story about the family that was trying to escape the Nazi, and they had the 12 family members, and they had the young child with them, and the baby started to cry and started to make noise. And immediately, the father that had the baby in hand, see, he knew that the baby before, and I have to set this up, he knew that the greatest threat to the family at that time was going to be the baby. So he knew from surveying everyone that was there that he needed to be the one with the child. And here's the reason why. This is why you have to train with your friends and your family. The reason being is because the baby started to cry, and the father took his hand and placed it over the baby's nose and the baby's mouth, and trying to get the baby to quiet, the baby, of course, started to panic. No child is going to do that. So he had to suffocate the baby. He had to suffocate the baby. So what really killed that child? It wasn't the father's suffocation. It was the tyranny that the father was protecting the family from. And the father knew that he couldn't hand that baby to anybody else that was in that group, because what they had been able to make that decision that was in the best interest of everyone there. It's the mental aspect that's more important than anything else. And Sister Davis and Brother Davis is so true. You have to be mentally prepared. And this is the key to knowing your situation and the circumstances that you're in. And I know that everyone here fully understands that this man hated and cried from the choice that he had to make to protect everyone. He hated that he had to do that. He probably never recovered from that at all. But he understood what was at stake. And sometimes you don't do what you want to do, you do what you have to do. And that's that's one of the things we're prepping, is that you have to have the mentality that you realize you may not want to prep, but you have to do it. It's a discipline that's so, so important. So today's show, we want to look at training with our family and friends. And believe me, there are many, many people that are training. The militaries have been training for a very, very long time. And let me tell you something about the military. They don't train. They're not the best at what they do. They're not always the best. They don't have complete training on what they do. You know, they really don't. Most people that have never been in the military have a false understanding of what the military does. Let me tell you what some of the best training that I've ever done, Keith. The best training that I've ever done wasn't with the military or wasn't with the police, with law enforcement. The best training that I've ever done was with individuals that decided that they need to prepare for something, because they brought in a different discipline. They brought in a discipline that this is what I need to do. So they were completely committed to it. And your overall process of learning and what you learn explodes in that environment. One of the things that's very, very important, we have to create the environment that's conducive for learning. have to do it. And my time in the military, my time in law enforcement, the overall violent confrontation that I got into, gun battles and everything else. Keith, do you know the best training that I ever, just talk about just from one standpoint with firearms, was with my friends and with my family? Because there was a much more in depth, much more involved, much deeper understanding of who, what, when, where, and why. Not only did you know how something worked, we were learning why something worked. And that's very, very important. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you see, like, law enforcement and everything else, some of those individuals can shoot really well, but most of them can't shoot good at all, very, very well at all. They'll be able to, if they ever come up against trained civilian people that's been training, that overall civilian will walk right through them. Will absolutely walk right through them. Now, I'm not talking about individuals that are like in special weapons, yeah, and tactics. No.
Patrolman on the street.
Right, right.
And that's because the civilian, they get out there, they practice, they shoot, they do all those things. Where the average patrolman down the street, he goes and qualifies once, maybe twice a year.
Exactly.
And that's it.
The overall dedication is different. Not only, and see, this is why, and I'm talking about this because training with your friends and family is so much. When you have to pay for something, you take care of that stuff. The overall, the gear that preppers have. If you want to know something about a firearm, don't ask a cop or a person that's been in the military. Ask an enthusiast, an aficionado. And that person may have never served in the military at all, never been in law enforcement or anything else, but they know their craft.
They have a passion for it.
So when you start to train with your family, seek individuals that have a passion for winning. It's one of the most important things that you can do. Either seek them or become them. It will do you and your family much, much good. And these are some of the things that we don't really talk about. If you really want to know tactics, now I will say this, if you want to know tactics, military personnel, law enforcement personnel will give you a great, great base, because those individuals face tactical situations. Well, law enforcement individuals face tactical situations every day. Anyone that's in the field in law enforcement, they face tactical situations every single day. Okay? The military, if they're in overall a combat zone, those individuals face tactical situations every single day.
Infantry.
Right. Those individuals, for that type of thing, those individuals you want to seek out. Then what you, because there's nothing, you want to pick up and learn from different experiences, from people that have been in different things and people that have experienced different things. That overall expertise that you get from them is priceless. You can learn and you can become an expert almost without entering the overall danger zone, which you want to minimize your risk. So when we talk about preparing with your family and training with your family, you want to first talk about have a plan. And the first plan, it has to be mental. Are we willing to do? Some people have made the decision that, hey, things go awry, this mess, I don't even want to be here for this. You need to identify those individuals, because that they're telling you who they are and what they want to do. Don't give them the baby. You feel me, Keith? Don't give them the baby. That person you don't want to get a baby to. You want to find individuals that, in light of the overall odds and the circumstances, that they are going to be disciplined and have the fortitude to never, ever surrender, and they're going to, And not saying that surrendering is wrong. That's that overall person's prerogative. If someone, you know, I have some friends that say, hey, Dave, yeah, I'll prep, but I ain't, you know, some things go wrong, man. I'm just going to forget it. I'm cool. That person I never talk about preparing with. That person I never try to explain, why am I going to try to beat my head up against something that I can't change and is not going to be a part of the change that I'm going to be protecting. I don't have any. I appreciate that person because they are not wasting my time and my energy. I move on from that person. Do I not care about that person? No, absolutely not. But they've made their choice. There's some friends I know that if things go awry, if they call, I'm not going to answer that call. You know what I mean, Keith? Because you're busy in doing the job that you need to do. And so this is so important that the father picked up that child because he knew that that responsibility should only be his. Because he knew that he was probably the only one there that could handle it. Not only doing it, but after it. Meaning he thought about it before it happened. That's one of the things that you have to do when training with your friends and family. You have to start with a plan of what are we going to do? Why are we doing this? What's the best way to do it? And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is through what? Relationships, talking, spending time, and then actually getting out and doing it. It's really, really a process. Before we jump into buying all of this gear, before we jump into doing this, identify the personalities that you're going to be, that you want to be in your overall group. Identify who those individuals are and what their capabilities are. And you want to have it as diverse as you possibly can. You don't want to have all people with one common strength. You want to be as diverse as the U.S. military. That's what makes the U.S. military so good, is that it's so diverse. And I'm going to tell you, you don't only want your family in your overall preparedness group. You definitely want to have some close friends and develop that. Because if you are actually strengthening the overall ability to get over. Because I'll say this, let's say you're the Brown family. Well, everybody in the Brown family, I'm going to just say in my family. I'll just use my family for example. In my family, the women in my family, oh my goodness, man, they're slow to, I won't say they're slow to anger. They don't get mad right away, but a couple of steps after right away, they get mad. And when they get mad, it's, you're going to have a raging hell on your hand, a hellish fire. So you may not want everyone in my family, just my family, in the group from that standpoint, from some of the ladies in my, and the people, the sisters in my family, they would bust out laughing because they know it's true and what it is. And I'm not picking on them or anything else. But I know what I'm getting with the women in my family. If we have too much of that, because they all pretty much are like that and different, pretty much, if we have too much of that, we got too much hot chocolate. and we don't have any purified water. You know what I mean? We got too much hot chocolate. So same thing with everyone's family. You want to be able to have your family a part of yours, but you also want to have your close friends to integrate into that, because that's going to make your overall family group even stronger. And you want to identify particular essential skills that people have and abilities. You're definitely going to want someone that has a medical background. But you want someone with a medical background, not only with a medical background, but with the overall tools as well, right? You don't just want a doctor to say, yep, you're not going to make it. No, no, doc. What can you do to make sure this person does make it? So you want to have those individuals and all of their capabilities. I'm going to tell you some of the things that I like to look at in my grouping of in training with friends and family. And I need to find that here as well. But one of the things in California, my group in California, we had put a high priority on in the medical field, these individuals, particularly paramedics and dentists. We took a very keen interest in paramedics and dentists. More paramedics than anything else, but paramedics from a certain certain background. We had a high emphasis on big city paramedics, because big city paramedics was used to dealing with
everything
and stabilizing people, and they all had their bags and they all had their equipment and everything else that was all uniformed and ready to go. It's different than a doctor, because the doctor goes into the overall room with, and they bring the overall equipment to him. The paramedic has to carry it all with them. It's a different dynamic. You see what I'm saying, Keith? It's a different dynamic. And before we'd even look at a doctor, we would prefer a nurse over a doctor.
The nurses run everything.
Because the nurses run everything. The nurses run everything. And then parts of the groups to put a big emphasis on the overall pharmacist. I really didn't, and I understood why they did, because they had the keys to where the drugs were. That was their standpoint. And so it's, you have to survey when you start to, before we get into, you need to learn how to do this. You need to, there is a strategical plan of action that everyone's in. It's a step-by-step action that you should take, or you should consider. You don't have to take it, because what I'm not saying is the Bible of preparedness. I'm just giving suggestions. What you want to do is you want to look at your group, your family. Then you want to look at your close friends. And then you want to start to train with those individuals, because you never know what someone's capability is until you talk to them. Until you talk to them, engage them. And then find out what everyone is, capabilities are. And then you start to put a pool of talent together. And then you share your pool of talent. Okay, hey, this person, hey, you need to be with this group. You're with us, but you need to be with this group over here, because they don't have you there. You're going to be with them. And then we're here, so we can join. We'll augment each other, but this overall group, because your group should start to grow, and it should be large. It should be a vetting process, absolutely. There definitely should be a vetting process. So, but having a prioritizing some things. One of the key things that was one of the highest priorities that we had in the group, surprisingly, was an herbalist. Superseded. Was right up there above the overall paramedic and everything else. The reason being is because that type of stuff you can still kind of learn and everything else, right? But a good herbalist, especially for where you were, the group that I was tied to was extended into the state of Washington. It was all from the Pacific. And so the herbalist was huge. In the desert, not too much growing. Not too much growing. But one thing that was also very, very highly sought after was someone that had a green thumb. Someone that had a green thumb. And when we say by green thumb, it's not someone that read a book on how to grow stuff. No, 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 no. There are some things you can't fake in life. You can't fake growing stuff and knowing how to effectively grow stuff. You can't fake it. You have had to have done it. There's There's an expertise, and that was one of the things that was very, very important in our group, is that you have to delegate responsibility to people, and you should only have people that want to be there. If you have individuals, and I know from our overall group, one of the things that we always did was that we always wanted to just take a psychological profile of someone. And we were very, it was a very keen process that we did. We would hit them with problems, right? And some of the problems weren't true. And what we would do is, you see, people are always going to give you the best answers at a job interview, right? So you want to get people out of that. You want to get people into an honest interview. So what we would do is we would call them with a problem. We would call them with a problem that wasn't really true. And we had an individual that just was really, really good at laying on woe was me. Right? And how they responded to that was critical if that is someone we wanted in our group. Because if you can't handle stress and you can't handle problems of others and everything else, maybe you're not the right person for it. And so it's when you really start to think about when you're preparing and you start training for what you're really doing is building a community. And who are the individuals that you want in that community? What temperament do you want? What commitment level do you want? There was one gentleman that no matter what, this guy would never, ever, ever stop until he fixed whatever it was. Man, do you know how sought after that individual was? Because this guy would not quit, and he wouldn't speak much about when he was dedicated to something, he wouldn't speak much. He was so consumed in the overall task, but he would never quit. And you don't realize those things until you have relationships with people for a while. So this individual I had been seeing for a long, long period of time. So when it was time for me to say, hey, have you ever thought about this, this, this? He says, yeah, I have. I've been doing it. It was a big right away. Life experience with the people that you know is critical. One of the things in developing training with your friends and family, you have to take the history and the relationships that you had with them into account. Don't interview someone in a 30-minute interview, an hour interview. The best interview is having someone that you've been watching for years, watching through different things, watching their temperament of different areas. You definitely always want to do that, because why would you waste that valuable intelligence that you have on someone that you can say, I know this individual from because of this, 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 these years of different things. Now, in some points and sometimes you won't have that luxury. But when you do have that luxury, why aren't we? You should seize on that. Go with the people that you know. And what I mean by go with the people that you know, bring the people into the fold that you know that should be there. If you know that there's one person that has a shaky, they're shaky on doing some things, don't bring them into your group. Don't bring them into your group. It's really strategizing a plan here. And here's the strategy that I've always used. When things go awry, who do I want with me and who do I want to be with? You know, Keith? And from doing that, that really is where we should start. Before you buy one thing, before you start engaging in all of these things, as Brother Davis and Sister Davis said, it's really a mental. You have to take a real survey. And not only that, of other people, you got to take a survey of yourself. You got to take a survey of yourself. There was one individual that I ran into in my prepping was in Southern California. It was a couple of individuals. Was that a place where you acquire goods, Keith? Was that a place where you could get prepping goods? And I noticed that there was a couple of individuals that were there. Right away, identified who they were because of how they were dressed, the demeanor that they had, how they carried themselves, right? Their so-called command presence, right? And you could tell that they were part of a militia group. And so right away, I went into a way into, let me find out who these individuals are. Never spoke to them, never said anything, but I wanted to find out who these individuals were. So I found out who these individuals were. And here's what these individuals were doing. These individuals were there for one reason and one reason only. Hear this, Keith. They were taking license plate numbers down for the people that bought a lot of stuff. They bought nothing that day. So what did that tell me about that? Those individuals? Those individuals had a way to check. They had a way to check what your license plate, what an address was tied to your license plate. So they had law enforcement. Yes. And guess what they were doing? They were not there. They weren't seeing from a governmental standpoint surveillance of people. Guess what they were doing? Opportunist surveillance. Because these individuals, because you know you can hear people talk, they weren't there to buy anything. They were only mainly acquiring intelligence, but see, what they bought was ammunition, guns, and everything else to take stuff from other people. Because there are going to be those types of groups that will be around. So that's what their overall, that's why they were there. That's why they were there. So what did I do? I played the role. I went so they could hear me. Asked the lady, what type of place is this? I said, what type of place is this? She said, this is, you know, I said, well, people come in here and actually do that? And then I went on, I said, boy, all y'all conspiracy theorist people is nuts. And I played that role. Guess what they did? Turned right away from me. Walked back out. I left. I learned a valuable lesson that day. Very, very valuable lesson. Even now, be careful where you go and what you do. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. Because there are actually groups that don't plan on buying nothing but plan on taking everything. And the dude, I heard one guy say that to the other one. We ain't buying nothing. We're going to take everything from these people. They were actually scoping out the overall building, the place, right? So they probably would, at the time, if it needed, they would hit that place. And I'm going to tell you, California, Southern California, got some real hardcore prepping groups. I mean, when I say real hardcore, I mean real hardcore. A lot of places do, but Southern California definitely, definitely does. It definitely, definitely does. And the reason why it does is because, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. We're 6 minutes old. Let me go to this commercial break. Sorry about that, Scotty. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up on some things in training with your friends and family. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And we're talking about training with your friends and family. So we just talked about some broad things, and then we're going to carry this one day a week with training, and we'll get more and more into it. So we're talking about, just before we went into the commercial break, how be mindful of your overall surroundings, because there are some individuals that are training different than you. Some individuals may be training to take what you have. And these aren't, and these individuals, they're not the government and all of that other stuff. So you definitely want to be cognizant of your overall surrounding. And if something doesn't feel right, now is the good time to learn, you know, and to develop that trust that you have. And it was just something about him. And I was like, And I was so happy that day as well, Keith. I parked my vehicle in a way where my license plate couldn't be seen. And I didn't plan on doing it that day that way. It's just that's what I did that day. And the front license plate was gone. I don't have a front license plate, you know, so it just worked out really, really well. And I made sure they left before I did. Or if I had to leave before them, but they were leaving around that time, and I was glad of that. But I made sure that way all of them left, and they left in a very configuration. It's an arrogance that they had, you know what I mean, Keith? And it was a very, very deadly arrogance. So let's get back to training with your friends and family. All right, so very important. Some of the principles: you need to have meetings with those individuals that you're going to be training with. Especially now, we actually need to schedule. Keith, we need to be scheduling meetings among ourselves as well. You definitely want to have planned, scheduled meetings. And which one of the things that I say with training with your friends and family: give every single person an opportunity to teach. Give them that responsibility. Don't have just one person making all the decisions, or two or three people making all of the decisions because they have a wealth. No. One of the most effective ways is have everyone train as much as they possibly can, and cross-train, and give responsibilities to people. Because then what happens is that you enhance their overall wealth, worth, and contribution to the overall group.
Become an expert in the field.
Become an expert. But more importantly, it becomes a bond with your group. That relationship is more important than anything else. I know that I have some relationships where we could have very little down to anything else, but I wouldn't leave them. And they wouldn't leave me. That's because that relationship is more important than anything else. Okay, if we're going to go down, when we all going down together. That's just, you know, that was one of the things that I did appreciate growing up in the projects in Jersey, and then also my time in the military for what I did. It was we all going down, and it kept constantly getting reinforced in me the whole way through. But when your group, you're going to have, regardless of who they are, if you have young children, if you have teenagers or even young children, you're going to have them teach everyone. Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be developing independency. You're going to be developing thoughtfulness. You're going to be developing that overall individual to be able to withstand stress. If you have an 8-year-old child, have that 8-year-old child teach your group something, and everyone give this their complete attention to that 8-year-old child, just as if it was so-called an expert that you have. And you do that by asking them questions and everything else, and set for. You give someone, every single person has a job of teaching something. You want to definitely have that cycle. going on. Because now what you're going to do is that you're going to magnify your overall strengths of your group. You're going to magnify your strengths of your group. And you're going to develop a bond of relationship that no matter what you go through, you'll always be looking for a solution. You'll always be looking for a solution. So very, 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 very important. So in training, did you want to, you had something, Keith? Okay. So that's what you want to look for. And I would also say in your group, as things start to, when you start to train with your group, train from all perspectives. Don't have everyone doing the same thing. Have everyone rotate in their overall positions within that overall training. And that way you'll start to see who does really well with this and who does really well with that. And one of the things with training with your family and friends, one of the most important things is that you have to train not only primarily not to define your strengths, but to find your weaknesses. Because wherever you're weaker, is that's where you only go as fast and you focus more on your weaknesses than anything else. Because you always want your weaknesses to be your strengths. Never, ever ignore your weaknesses. If you ignore your weaknesses, your strengths are a facade. But if you focus on your weaknesses, then your strengths become broader. Become broader. So find, and what I mean by your weaknesses, let's say your weaknesses are you don't have a lot of individuals that that let's say, just say they're not shooters. Okay. And not saying that firearms is the only form of defense or anything else. I'm just using this as your as example. If you find that you have a real deficiency in shooting, then that becomes priority number one that you take care of. And you develop that. Because what you want to do is you want to groom the overall people that you're with to be able to overcome their weaknesses, whatever their weaknesses are. So you focus on those weaknesses. Find your group. One of the first things that you say within your group when you find your in developing your group, what are your weaknesses? Don't tell me about your strengths. We'll see what your strengths are. What are your weaknesses? And then from that weakness, build that weakness up. Very, very important in training. A weakness may be that we don't have a lot of canned foods. Focus on that weakness, right? Focus on that weakness, because when you focus on that weakness, but don't overextend yourself. You know, you don't want to overextend it, and all of this stuff is very easy to overextend. But don't stay just doing one thing, thinking that, you know, that's going, you need to be diverse in everything. So focus your group weakness. Spend time with your preparedness group. Spend time with them before the proverbial crap hits the fan. Spend time with them, hang out, do things together. Very, very, very important, always overlooked. Very, very important, always overlooked. Why are you doing that? Well, you're finding out things about them. They're finding out things about you. You may find out that this person has this illness, that illness. They could have this or that, you know. They may be able to, you know, do different things, that they have a natural talent at direction, you know, or they have, well, not a natural talent, they know directions really, really well. You won't find out those things unless you spend time. Unless you spend time. So in preparing and training, it's more than just going to the range and actually getting to it. There's actually an administrative process before you actually start and everything. Because if you take care of the administrative things, right, which we all tend to overlook, When you don't take care of the administrative things, that means your overall business of preparedness is not ready for any kind of crisis at all. It's more to preparing for, especially for the events that we're going to be going through. It's not preparing for just going camping for the weekend. You're talking about a war scenario, and I don't have a problem saying this stuff because this is what you're talking about: economic crisis in a war scenario. That you're talking about a fall of one of the most predominant empires, the most dominant empire in modern history. Modern history meaning for which you can think back to that you know. You're talking about the fall of that empire. And that empire of fall is going to come at different degrees and different ways with different adversities and different opportunities. And it's not going to be like is not a situation where it's not going to totally alter your life. It is. This is going to totally alter your life. It's going to totally break up your day-to-day routine. The normalcy that you have right now is going to no longer be practice. You're going to have to learn different things. You're going to have new opportunities. This is why you can never, ever fear change. Can't fear change. Because it's definitely going to happen. There's many things that we have to first lose. We got to lose our fear of change, lose our sense of criticizing ourselves, lose our self-pity, right? We're going to have to lose our attachment to being comfortable. If you can find yourself in an uncomfortable situation and still appreciate it, the psychological win that you have, that you're going to be able to benefit from so much. So I didn't really want to go this far, but we're going to get into actual some things that you should be training. I would say start putting your groups together majorly. Incorporate some of your friends. You're going to need them. No one is going to be able to get through this stuff by yourself. It's not anything that you need to fear at all. It's here. It's going to happen. It's unfolding now, and you still have time to do it. And then once things do arrive, don't meet it. Don't run away from it. Meet it and say, okay, it's here. Now let's do it. Let's do what we got to do and grow. And I think that's very, very important. Be willing to grow. I mean, we'll do good. So, but we'll have more on training, specific things on training, as far as some things that I think you should have, some things you should be aware of. Once you establish your group, then what you want to do is start to isolate yourself with the overall group from others that you don't know. And because of, you'll see why I'm saying that, because sometimes you're really going to have to learn to avoid. With your group is going to have to avoid groups of people, especially when things go awry, because you don't know who those individuals are and what their intentions are. But you definitely want to be able to put yourself inside of a sanctuary. So, all right, everyone, get ready to get out of here. Never goodbye. Always will see you later. Pastor Keith, greatly appreciate you, my brother. Much love, much respect. And remember, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention,